Glory to God. Now, just in case you didn't know, it was just on my heart to be in Pastor Michael's service on Tuesday. And that's why we just thought, you know what, it'd just be good to let everybody go up there if they want. You know, it's obviously no obligation. And for some of you, it's no further of a drive. But, you know, it'd be a blessing to you if you can make it up there. You know, of course, Pastor Michael has got something for the family churches. And I believe that, you know, I knew that when we started Tuesday night services, that we wouldn't always have to, that we wouldn't have them every single week. There would be times where we would break away and go to his service. But I figured, you know, why not? If it's on my heart to go, might as well all of us if we can. Amen. Praise the Lord. So if you can be up there, I know you'll be blessed. I don't know. I think he's preaching on gifts of the Spirit. I don't know fully what he's preaching on up there, but God knows. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, today I'm preaching a message that's near and dear to my heart. And it's something that I've been sensing to preach for a long time and maybe a little bit behind the ball on it, but I'm going to preach it this week, and I believe it's in season, it's right in time, and this message is going to help us. Amen. This message is called The Real Danger of Offense. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to be talking about some things, and I haven't decided yet, and I mentioned Tuesday that I might not, that we might not put this message online, and that may be so, we may not. Praise the Lord. We may not do that because of some of the content that is in it, amen? Some of the content of the things that we may or may not get into, I just deemed it's better for this group that's here, praise the Lord, people that show up, but we're going to be addressing some things that are very important for us to address. We're going to address some things that are some things that can not just rob you from the plan of God, but can utterly destroy your life. Yeah. This message is intended to literally scare the hell out of you. Yes, amen. It's intended to scare the hell out of you. Because people don't realize sometimes when we ride a fine line, that we can ride a fine line between heaven and hell by our actions. And we have to understand, you know, God is a forgiving God. God is a God of love. He's a just God. But because he's a just God, he is also a God that passes judgment. And this is something that we don't preach on a lot necessarily, specifically, but it is something that we need to be aware of. You know, the Bible says that the beginning of knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. The beginning of the knowledge is the fear of the Lord. Now, what it means there is not to be afraid of God, but it is a reverential fear. You know, I remember growing up, my stepfather, I had a reverential fear of his hand. I mean, know that. You know, if I was going to, when I did things, when he was around, I acted just a little bit better. Amen. I acted just, or I endeavored to anyways. I didn't always work, but I endeavored. To, amen. And because I had a reverential fear of it, I wasn't afraid of him. But there is a fear in of not doing right, amen. And because there was consequences to it, amen. And we understand that there are consequences. And one of the most the biggest things that we have to understand is that God takes His work seriously. God takes what He's doing very seriously. The Bible is very clear about this, and many times we see in the Old Testament, there's many examples of people who railed against the work of the Lord, and things like the earth swallowed them up. You know, disease and pestilence came on them. These things happen because God will remove His hand of protection for people who come against the Lord's anointed. And this is something that we have to understand. This is why we teach things a certain way around here. We teach the truths, and sometimes we teach them boldly. Sometimes we teach them hard because it's important to get that over to people. And when you're on a path that leads to danger, you don't want somebody to softly tell you, oh, don't go that way. You don't want somebody to rub your back and say, you know what, you know, there might be bad things down there. You don't want, no, you need someone to warn you. And that's exactly what we're told to do in here in the Word. But as a flip side of this, the devil uses this as opportunity to destroy the people of God, or try to. And what he uses is this thing called offense, and we're gonna hear about it today. Now, before I get into this message, I'm going to let you all know something. I am a person who is dealt very severely in life and very seriously with offense. And most often that offense was directed at my man of God. It was directed at my pastor. In fact, it was so strong that just before I entered the season that led me to pastoring, I was almost completely taken out by offense because I allowed wrong thoughts. You know, when you talk about dealing with thoughts and dealing with things, see, we have to deal with these things in our lives. We can't just let our minds go wherever they want to go. We have to say stop when it's wrong. We have to say no further are you going to come. We have to put the borders up. We're like, no, devil, you are not going to take me down this road. Amen. And we have to understand that. If we don't, it takes us to a place that's very dangerous. Amen. And so we're going to start in John 15. Praise the Lord. And we're going to be talking about the dangers of offense. I'm not even going to get into all that I want to today because I'm not even going to get into all the judgment aspect of it. We're going to be talking about other things. We might touch on those things. Amen. John 15, 8. Glory to God. Says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Praise God. This is a wonderful scripture, and this tells us so much about the heart of God. God is glorified when we bear much fruit. In other words, when our lives look the way the Bible says, the way the Bible says, the more God is glorified. The more you're blessed by the Lord, the more your life looks blessed by the Lord, the more that other people see the blessing of God in your life, God is glorified. He gets the glory for it. So never again question whether or not God wants you to have something good. Never again question whether or not God wants you to get through. Never again question whether or not God wants you helped. Never again question whether God wants to answer your prayers. Know that He does, because in that, He is glorified. Hallelujah. That's an exciting verse. Praise the Lord. And that just tells us so much. Praise the Lord. But this is what we have to understand. The devil does not like God being glorified, does he? He doesn't want to hear God glorified. He doesn't like that you come to church and that you praise God, or that you praise God on your own. He doesn't want that. And so what is the devil going to rob? If it's the fruit that glorifies God, then what do you think the devil's coming to steal? The fruit. Amen. I like to read John 10:10 around here. It says the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come, Jesus said, that they may have life and have it more abundantly. But let's focus on the first part of that scripture. The devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And what's he looking at doing? He's looking at your fruit. He's after your fruit. He does not want you to produce. He does not want you to be glorifying God in your life and in your actions. The devil is trying to rob God of fruit. One of the number ways the devil will attack a ministry is through someone that he can get offended. It is one of the number one ways. I have personally seen it over and over and over. I've seen it in this church. I've seen it in my pastor's church. I've seen it in those that were connected to Pastor Michael's church. Pastor Michael had something happen once where half the church got offended and left, not even because of something he did, but because of something that was in the Word, but they didn't like it. And so half the church left. Well, praise the Lord. That's called offense. And we're going to look at what offense is and see what it's all about. Now, listen, God can call people out of churches. I'm not saying that. This church here is not necessarily everybody is going to come to this church. Amen. But there's a difference between going where you're called and leaving where you're called. Amen. You know, you can be where you're called and not necessarily like everything and not necessarily love everything, but it matters. And the reason, I'm going to let you know this, the reason that I'm dealing with this today is by direction of the Lord, but also because there has been stuff that has gone through this church and has been spoken in the ears of people in this church, and I'm not going to stand for it. And I'll just tell you right now, I will not stand for this garbage. I will not stand for somebody railing against the Word, railing against the work of God, or railing against things that are meant to be a blessing to God's people. I will not stand for it, and if it doesn't stop, I'll call it out from the pulpit and I'll use names. I'm not afraid to do that, because we are not going to put up with somebody backbiting. We're not going to put up with people talking. We're not going to put up with people trying to tear down the work that God's building. I have not dedicated my life to something to watch somebody who doesn't want to be faithful rip it apart. I'm just telling you the truth. And just because they'll be used by the devil doesn't mean I'm going to. Amen? Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, this is a good message. This will help you this week. Because you think, man, this might be bold. And praise the Lord, we got some new people here. You're like, what did I come into? Glory to God. Well, praise the Lord. Normally we're nice. Hallelujah. No, we do preach the word bold, but it's to help people. You understand? That's the heart behind all of this. Amen? It's because we want to help people. Praise the Lord. Lord, these are some things that have come to me. The devil works through questions. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not saying you can't question anything. No, don't take what I'm saying and rip it apart. But the devil works through questions. Questions are not bad when they come from the right heart. If you don't understand something, question it. If you don't want something, question it. If you need answers, question it. Praise the Lord. I'm not saying don't question anything. But you know, there's a difference. We can get into this realm of questioning things that aren't just questioning, but it's more critical. You know what I mean? Because we just, all the time, we're just constantly on the same thing all the time, all the time, all the time. You know what I mean? We're trying to rip something apart, being critical. Well, and a lot of times it comes out of a place of not liking what you're hearing or something like that. Amen? Yeah. Questions are meant to gain knowledge. Questions that are meant to gain knowledge or clarify instruction are beneficial for all people. Yeah. I am so glad that I've been taught not to swallow things like a baby bird.
Yeah.
Men, but because that we are not supposed to sit in church and swallow things like a baby bird, we are also not meant to sit there and swallow things from other people like a baby bird. When people want to talk, they always want to talk about things. They always want to bring up issues. You know, they want to talk about issues. They never have a solution for the issues. They never want to fix the issues, but they want to talk about issues. Amen. And so we're gonna see some of this again today as we go on. Praise the Lord. The Bible says that you will know the truth, right? We read that every week, John 8:31-32. You shall know the truth. When you know the truth, you don't need to question. This is the thing about God. If I have questions all the time. I have questions from ministries all the time. Sometimes I question my pastor. Pastor, I don't quite understand what you meant by saying that. Those things are good to do. I'm going to tell you something. If you're questioning behind closed doors, but you won't question someone to their face, there's something wrong with that. If you'll talk about it with 15 people behind closed doors, but will never bring it to the leader, or never bring the one who can actually answer the question, you're offended. That means you're offended and there's something wrong. You're following the plan of the devil. You're actually following the leading of the devil. And you know where the devil's going? She's going straight to hell. Praise the Lord. That means that people that follow him, that's the same path that they're on. You need to be careful of it. Praise the Lord. People want they want God to bless them, but then they run around and they gotta say this and they gotta say this, but they're never bold enough to stand up and say it to the one that really could answer it. Amen. I said this more times than not. You know, I when I worked in the factory back in the day, and I'd go to church on Sunday and I'd go read my notes and I'd talk to people all the time. I had conversations with people about God all the time. People don't ask me those questions anymore. Why not? Because back then they didn't really think I could answer it. Today they know that I can. Praise the Lord. They don't want, a lot of times people don't want the answer. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Sometimes I'm like, man, I wish I see a debate on TV or something, like a Christian debate, and I'm like, man, I wish I was there. Because this is the little stuff I know is much more than that. Amen. We need to know the truth. The Bible says you will know the truth. Amen. Did God really call me here? These are I'm gonna share some questions to you that will come up. I've been through all these questions. Wait, I'm preaching from a place where I've stood. You understand? So this isn't something that I'm unaware of. The Bible says to be aware of the devil's devices. Amen. Don't be ignorant of them. Did God really call me here? Oh, did God really call me to this pastor? Did God really bring me here? Well, I'll tell you what. If you were so sure that God did, he didn't just up and change his mind. Praise the Lord. And if he's calling you to something else, he's calling you to something else higher. Yes. You know, God called me out of my church that I was connected to with my pastor. I said he called me out of it. But what did he do? He made me a pastor, put me in a church. My pastor approved of it. My pastor knew that it was right. My pastor knew it was God. Praise the Lord. He knew it was God before I knew it was God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Pastor's pastor knew. Hallelujah. God knows what he's doing. Amen. And he doesn't. We met a Christian recently. Praise the Lord, didn't go to this church. They actually don't go to any church. You know, one of them kind of Christians is just float around doing their own thing. Well, listen, you can't be a good Christian floating around doing your own thing, because that's not the way God works. He works through the body, amen? Praise the Lord. I'd like to see you do something only one part of your body. I'd like to see you do anything with just one part of your body, you know what I mean? But he's given us every reason up and down why, you know, this and that and this and that. Almost as a badge of pride, was talking to us about how many churches, how many different kinds of churches that he's been in. Well, praise the Lord, I've been in this flavor and that flavor and that flavor. Oh yeah, but where's God called you? Where's God called you? It matters that we get planted where God called. I don't care if God's called you this church or that church or this church or that church. It doesn't matter. Be where God's planted you and then stay there until God removes you, which he doesn't do often. Amen. Praise the Lord. I don't know if I fit here anymore. I'm not sure if I'm loved anymore. People do this in relationships all the time. Well, I don't feel like I'm in love anymore. That's your problem. See, when we base our life off of feelings are fickle. You ever feel the same every single day?
No.
Is there some days you wake up and you don't know why, but you just don't feel right? You still feel happy? Have you ever had a non-happy day? Is there anyone here, praise the Lord? Anybody with me and had a non-happy day? Some days you just don't feel good. But praise the Lord, if you live by your feelings, guess what? You're going to live in the gutter. You don't live by our feelings. We know our life is good. I don't question whether or not my life is good just because I have a bad day. I don't question whether or not God's good because I have a bad day. I don't question whether or not I'm on the right path just because I have a bad day. Listen, we got some days we're going to have a bad day. Someday we're going to have multiple bad days. But God has given us a way to get through them if we stay right. Amen? Praise the Lord. And this is nothing new. This is the thing you have to understand. Offense, it started in the Garden of Eden. Actually, it started before that. It started before Satan fell. But we understand that's the same thing that Satan brought to Eve. He brought her a question. He didn't say God was a liar. He didn't come up and say that everything you're believing is wrong. No, what did he say? He said, "Did he really say?" He questioned the command. So did he really say this? See, that's how the devil does it. He's sly. Is this really? You have to look at what God's doing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, I said this, I think, Tuesday. You know, we had a testimony Sunday a year and a half ago or something. And just about every one of those testimonies that we had got attacked. You know why they got attacked? Because the devil hates God having fruit. The devil doesn't want God to have fruit. And it almost brought me to the point where I never wanted to have another one. But I'm going to tell you what, I will testify every single time that God does something good. I don't care if it's little or big, because God is doing big things. Amen? It's when we start questioning, well, did this really happen? Did this really? You know that it happened. Look at your life. Look at how God's changed things. I'm not talking about me. I'm not talking about my wife. I'm not talking about this church. But I am talking about what God's doing. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And so we just want to pounce on these things. We want to stand on them. And we want to make sure that we don't give the devil any room at all. Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Psalm 92. Glory to God. The word is good. And that's why we preach the word. If people don't like the word, well, I don't know how to help them then. That's why I always tell people. You know, people get mad at me. People want counseling appointments. But I say, I won't counsel people unless they come to church. Why? Because there's no point in doing it. You can't get helped if you don't come to church. You can't get helped if you sit at home and just ignore God all the time. You can't get helped that way. You can't get helped by God. Praise the Lord. It's just the truth. God wants to help you, but he helps you through the body. Amen? Praise the Lord. And furthermore, he established churches. You understand that, right? He established the ministry offices. I didn't make me a pastor. God forbid. It was the last thing I wanted to do. It's just like Josh was saying. I didn't come into church. I come into church just hoping I was going to get helped. I came into church just hoping that I wasn't going to die. You understand what I'm saying? I didn't think anything of standing up in front of people. I didn't want anything to do with that. But see, God had a different plan. Praise the Lord. And it's good. That doesn't mean, like, don't even sit there and think, you know, there's a lot of you probably sitting out there thinking, well, I don't want to do that. I've had that said to me so many times. I don't want to speak in front of people. Believe me, it's the last thing I wanted to do. But glory to God, this is where he has me. Doesn't mean that everybody will, amen. But, I think you have a sense if you're called or not, generally. But Psalm 92:13, what's it say here? Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those who are planted. Those who are planted. Those who are uprooted, not those who are moved around every other year, every other month, whatever. Not those who are up one day and down. No, those who are planted. Those who are planted in good soil. Those who are watered. Those who are fertilized. Those who are planted. 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 That word, I can't stress that word planted enough. Planted is not being moved. Amen. I have an oak tree in my. We have a section of woods next to our house. And I have an oak tree in there that's bigger around. It's like this big around. Amen. That oak tree is only there and that big because it's been planted. It hasn't been moved. It has been there since it was planted, and that's where it stayed. Amen. It's been healthy and flourishing all these years because it was planted. It wasn't moved. It doesn't matter how, you know, the wind blows up on the hill. You know that, right? We live on a hill and the wind blows up there and it blows hard. One day I came out and found a pine tree laying down in my yard. I'm like, hey, that tree wasn't there last night. Amen. It was standing upright. Now it's laying horizontal. But you know, the wind blows up there, but you know, when that wind blows, that oak tree doesn't barely move. Some of the branches do a little, But that tree doesn't move. That tree has been there and it stays there through every windstorm. Why does it stay there? Because it's planted. Hallelujah. Just because the wind blows does not mean it's time to move. Just because the wind blows doesn't mean that it's time to get up and forsake everything that you've been taught, everything that you know. We have to stand against the things that come against us. Jesus said that if you're founded on the rock, you will prevail. But if you're not founded on the rock, you'll be like the house that was built on the sand and it will collapse. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We have to be founded in something greater than ourselves. Listen, so many Christians are planted in their own soil. Their greatness is only as far as their mind can go. That's where a lot of people live. They live in this place where it's only the things that they decide matter. And when you live in that place, it's a dangerous place because you don't know all the things that are coming. You don't know. The Bible says we don't even know how to pray as we ought. You know that? The Bible says that. But the Holy Spirit will help us. Well, praise the Lord. Are you going to go from a church that preaches the Holy Spirit to one that doesn't? So God called you to go backwards? Come on now. Glory to God. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of God. People want to flourish. They pray to God, Lord, help me flourish. Help me be great. Help me get past this. Help me do this. Help me do that. But he said, you won't be planted. You are moved by everything that comes along, by everything that somebody else says. Christians are moved by what people in the world say. I don't get that. I don't understand it. I don't care. Listen, I am not saying you can't have worldly friends. Have worldly friends. But by God, do not be moved by what they tell you. Right. They don't direct you. They don't guide you. They don't help you. Why? Because they don't have any counsel for you. The Bible says that. Amen. We'll see it more. Amen. They shall flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14, they shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing in old age. What does God want you to do? He wants you to bear fruit in old age. Praise God. He doesn't want you to just start having fruit when you're young and when you're able and then all. No, he wants you to be fresh and flourishing, bearing fruit until you go home to be with Jesus. That's a big amen in my book. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what God wants for us. But the devil is going to try. Don't think that the devil won't try to rob it. The Bible says, do not be ignorant of his devices. Amen. The devil's plan is to get every believer to stop flourishing because fruit is how God is glorified. It looks good to God. Listen, teach my kids, you're going to do things a certain way, especially when you're in public, because what you do out there is a reflection of who we are. Yeah. People will judge your mom and me by the things that you do out there. Yeah. They will, absolutely. Has anybody got a bad name in a family because some dummy couldn't keep it right? Because they're out there just living bad. We all know what that's like. It puts a mark on the family. Praise the Lord. The same thing goes for God. Yep. People call themselves Christians. They go out there and live like the devil. What do you think that shows people? How do you think that makes people look at God? Yeah. It makes them look foolish. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. It makes the whole thing look foolish. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Matthew 16. Let's go there. Praise God. Hallelujah. I think I got a lot of scripture to go to today, but I believe we'll get through it all. Praise the Lord. And I've threatened to maybe make this a two-week thing. I don't know. If I go into a two-week, the second week thing, if that's what God has for us, then we'll do that. But if that's what we have, I already know what the second week will be on. It'll be more about the judgment. See, we have to understand, this is what makes me live right. One of the things that makes me live right, makes me live right. Listen to me now. You know I came out of the world. You know I didn't like to live right. I was a drug user. I was a smoker, a drinker. I did all the things that I wanted to do. Praise the Lord. I did. I fornicated. I lived in the world bad. Amen. You know what makes me live right now? The knowledge of who God is and why I need to live right. Because what happens to those that don't live right? Amen. The Bible says that they end up in hell, and I don't want to end up in hell. That's not a place that I want to go to. Praise the Lord. I'm just telling you the truth. I'll just give you a little taste. I believe I'm supposed to say this. We have a family member sitting back here, my wife's cousin's husband, James, and we were at their house on New Year's Day, and we went around. We hadn't been to their house before, and they were showing us around. You know, it's a big house, and they were showing us all different kinds of things. And this thing that he said to me, man, it stuck with me. Praise the Lord. But, you know, he opened, he took me down. They have a big boiler that boils water, heats everything, you know, and it's a big wood boiler. And he opened that up, and he had mentioned, you know, about how hot that was and how, you know, I can't remember the exact words he said, but he was he was making a reference to hell and how horrible of a place that is. excuse me, I just got a little frog. Praise the Lord. Thank you. But, you know, he had made that reference, and it really, you know, it got me thinking about some things. I'm like, yeah, as hot as that fire is, it's nothing compared to what hell is. It's nothing compared to what it is. And it isn't because God created this place to torment people. It's because this place is a place that is completely devoid and without God. That's what happens. When you remove God, listen to me. This is important. God is not just trying to punish us. But when you remove God from your life, what you do is you open the door for hell to come in. Because God is the only thing, if you want to look at it this way, God is the only thing that can keep hell at bay. He's the only thing that can. Without God, it's hell on earth. Without God, it'll be hell in eternity. Why? Because that's what without God is. And that's why we need to be serious about this. This is why we need to know these things. Amen. Matthew 16:21, praise the Lord, glory to God. I think about that all the time now. Every time after he said that to me, every time I open the every time I have a fire, we have a fire in a fireplace. I think of the same thing, man. You get right up to that. It's just a little fire, and it's so hot, you know. Praise the Lord. I know this can be sobering. I mean, people want a happy message. We do preach happy messages, but it's good. You understand. Listen, if you want a happy message, listen to last night's message. It'll stir you. And from Corey. But, you know, we follow the Lord on what we preach. I don't preach messages because I deem that, you know, I want to preach this today. I don't come up with it. And see, this is the thing about people who never really connect, is they never realize that there's a spiritual aspect to how these messages come about. You know, I have people come to me almost every single week telling me, you know, that message spoke right to me. It spoke to something I was dealing with in my life. I have no idea what people are going through in life unless they tell me, understand. But most times, people don't tell you. Glory to God. They're not out there telling you what they're dealing with. And nor should they have to, because God will deal with them if you're faithful to him. Amen. Praise the Lord. I believe I'm speaking to hearts today. Yeah. Glory to God. Matthew 16:21. We see here Jesus. Amen. And he says, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised on the third day. What was Jesus doing? He was laying out the plan of God for him. From that day on, he began to lay it out to his disciples. This is the plan of God. Amen? Amen? This is what God has me to do. This is what I'm here for. This is what we're doing. Now listen here. This will help you. Praise the Lord. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." Was Peter doing that out of a bad heart? No, what he was doing is he loved God. He loved Jesus. He said, "I don't want to see you die and suffer these things. Praise the Lord, I'll protect you. I'll be there." Look how Jesus responds to that. But he turned and he said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Well, praise the Lord. Yeah. He was not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. He's telling him here, what he was rebuking the thought. He was laying out the plan of God, and Peter rebuked the plan of God because he didn't like it in his flesh. He didn't like what was going to happen. Listen, if you walked with the Lord, I mean, some of you love me, praise the Lord, right? Yeah. Glory to God. If I stood here and told you that the Lord revealed to me that I was going to have to suffer such a horrible death and to help his people, but this was part of the plan and I was going to go through it, I'm sure that some of you might be uncomfortable with that. I'm sure very few of you would be like, "Right on, man." You know what I'm saying? That's exactly what I'm saying. The leader, the one that they learned to trust, the one that they loved. And I'm not comparing me to Jesus, you understand. But what I'm saying is that somebody that you care about, somebody that you love, and this is what they're doing. And Peter's response was in the flesh. Yeah. But that's the problem. His response was based on emotion and not in the truth. It wasn't based on what God wanted to do. It was based on what he felt at that moment. That's a dangerous place to be. Look what he says. Jesus dealt with the devil on the inside of him, and he said, "Get behind me, Satan." And what did he say? "You are an offense to me." Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. What's an offense? Praise the Lord. I got to find it here. I know I have it written down. Offense. This is what offense literally is. If you look, I keep looking up at this TV. It's black right now, so just pretend I'm looking at that one when I look over there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Offense, the movable stick or trigger on a trap. Wow. It's a movable stick or the trigger on a trap. You know the one they put up the little box trap and they have the stick on there that's it's got a thing. It's ready to trap, yeah. Right? This is what offense is. A trap stick, a snare, an impediment placed in the way and causing one to stumble or fall. Wow. Something that is put out there to cause one to stumble or fall. What do you stumble or fall? Stumble from the path that you're on. Fall from the place that you've gotten to. Yeah. You have a testimony in life. You don't think the devil's going to try to rob it? So how does he try to rob it? He puts a fence out there. Yeah. Because when he gets you offended or when he gets someone around you offended, what he does is he tries to cause you to stumble or fall off that place where you've been brought to. Yeah. He's trying to rob from you. Listen to me. A stumbling block. Occasion of stumbling. A rock that is in the, which is a cause of stumbling. Now listen to this one, because this is part of it. Any person or thing by which one is entrapped or drawn into error or sin. Drawn into error or sin. So a person, an offense is also a person who will draw others into error or sin. They become an offense. Listen, nobody, you know, Judas, praise the Lord, was an offense. Judas is the one that betrayed Jesus. He didn't have to betray Jesus. He didn't have to do those things which the Lord knew that he was going to do. But he chose to do it because he operated out of a different spirit. Praise the Lord. And so we have to understand this here, that we have to understand that offense is a dangerous, dangerous thing. Jesus said that you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God. Praise the Lord. What happens is when people don't connect, when they don't get mindful of the things of God, they're easily offended by things that are just God. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to give you an example, praise the Lord, without using names. But I had somebody come to me and tell me, somebody who was an offense, they didn't come to me. I had to reach out to them because they had been talking about me behind my back. And so I reached out to them to try to help them, try to stop them from going down this road of offense. Yeah. And I said to them, and they told me that they specifically said, "I love your boldness, but I don't love how bold you are about these things." And I said to this person, I said, "Listen, I have been preaching the same stuff the entire time you were here, and it never bothered you before. But now all of a sudden, because you decided to walk away from it, because you decided to do something different, now it's offending you." Right. Yeah. What, is that God? Does that sound good? No, what do we warn people? Do you think, and I even said, do you honestly think that I sit there and prepare sermons to come over and attack you in your life? Absolutely not. I don't sit around. I mean, if people think so little of me that I would prepare a message to try to attack somebody because they're doing something that I don't approve of, that's absolute foolishness. Idiocy, it's stupid, it's all of those things, it's ridiculous at the highest level, and on the other end, and their part, it is the ultimate highest level of pride that you can even imagine, that you would think that I would base everything in this church around you. Right. Come on now. But we've all been there. I have been there. I have sat in a service and glared at my pastor because of the things that he was preaching. And I didn't like what he was saying because it was stomping all over everything I was doing. He had no idea what I was doing. He had no idea what was going on in my life. But listen, we can choose to walk in line with the devil and be offended about something that we know that we're doing wrong. And what do? They go around trying to justify it. I know of at least one person. I know many people this person has gone to, but I know of at least one person that this person has caused not to come back to this church. Yeah. Because they spoke in their ear. Yeah. So you're telling me now that it's God. You're still going on with God and you're doing things that are godly, but now you're going around speaking against things to try to get someone else to leave too? Praise the Lord. I mean, think about that. Somebody who gets offended and then they leave and then but they try to do it and everything they say about themselves is good. You know, I'm just doing this or I'm just doing that. But then what they do is they go around, they speak in the ears of other people. Oh, you need to leave too is essentially what they're saying. Yep. That's God. That's good. And what kind of friend is that? Yeah. some of the same people 2 years ago, 3 years ago, sang my praises, sat there and talked about what a wonderful church this is. Now, all of a sudden, it's bad. I'm preaching the same things. Brother Scott, how long have you been with us now? About 5 years, right? Have you heard recurring themes in my messages? Absolutely. Have I strayed too much from the things that... No. Why? Because the same things that people are dealing with need to be addressed time in and time again. It doesn't mean there isn't more to God. Of course, there's a lot to God that we don't touch on. You understand? But there's things that we have to remind ourselves of. We need to... The Bible says our minds need to be renewed. Need to be renewed. People who once loved you, Pastor, you're such a help to me. I'm so thankful for you. And now they want nothing to do with you. Because of what they decided, not because of what I did. Praise the Lord. But now, and this is the thing, this is the reason I'm addressing you, saying, well, you're just offended. No, I'm not offended. But I am dealing, I am warned. I have to deal with this. I have to warn people of people like this because they are talking to other people. If they just left quietly, I wouldn't have to say anything. But that's the problem. They didn't just leave quietly. They left loudly, and they're louder and louder and louder and louder, and I have to deal with it. Because listen, if you're going to leave, you can leave. I'm not going to stop people from leaving. But you're not going to leave without being warned. Praise the Lord. And so you make the decision. That way, when you stand before Jesus, you can't say, well, Pastor Jeff didn't warn me. No, he's going to look at you and say, I sent somebody to warn you and you didn't listen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is the truth. But here's the thing. If you know people like this, and because this is not something that just reared up all of a sudden. If you know people like this, you'll see patterns of this in their life. There was patterns of it in my life when I lived in offense. My pastor said you could set a watch offense every 3 months or so. All of a sudden, I was offended again. Could tell, and he would say the same thing. He'd call me into the office and he would start talking me down off the ledge because I was right out there on the ledge ready to jump because I was offended, I was mad, I was upset, I was hurt. All these things, you understand, offense is all these things, anything by which causes a person to stumble, to stumble from the path that God has for them. Praise the Lord. I preach the word of God. I preach the truth. It's up to people to decide whether or not they want to listen to the truth or not. It is not. I cannot make people listen to the truth. Testimonies come when people listen to the truth. Testimonies only come when people listen to the truth. When people say, I will be changed by the word, even if though it's against what I believe, even though it's against what I feel. When I say against what I believe, you understand what I'm talking about. Like things that you believe in the natural. I'm not saying, well, you know, all of a sudden I believe in God and Jesus and now I'm going to start believing in Allah or Buddha or something like that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, we all have ideas of how we want to operate our lives, right? We're born with them. You have family. You know what I notice? If you can, it's so funny. Being a pastor, I can kind of be up on a level looking at many different kinds of scenarios. Okay? It's more open to me because of the way that people come in. Amen? And one thing that I've noticed is there are veins of things that run through families. There's depression ran through my family. I mean, very, very, very clearly, you go back, and you see all these people, same thing. Sexual sin will run through families. Absolutely. If you say sexual perversion and sin will run through families, that's why I'm not saying 100% of the time, but often it will. Drug abuse runs through families. Alcoholism runs through families. Why are these things? Because the devil finds ways in, praise the Lord. Gossips run through families. People who backbite, it runs through families. It's the same thing. It's just as evil. We have to stop it. We have to decide to stop it. Amen. Praise the Lord. So offense is it's a trap. And now we understand, what's a trap? Anything that's ever trapped, when you set a trap for something, usually the end of that thing is not very good, right? It's not pleasant, right? I mean, you think about why do animals will gnaw their own leg off to get out of a trap? Because they know instinctively that it isn't good. Listen, if we have to gnaw our own leg off to get out of the trap, then that's what we have to do. But we got to make sure we stay out of the trap. We have to make sure, because nobody else is going to stop us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And again, I am not coming down on people. See, anytime somebody's dealing with something, I keep this open to people. I keep this open as a pastor. Anytime you're dealing with something, even if you're dealing with absolute hatred towards me, my office is open to you. I will talk to people. I will help you. I will do whatever I have to do as long as it's, you know, within bounds. I mean, there are certain things I won't do. You know, one thing I won't do is people will make, you know, we're different about how we do appointments around here. People will leave work to make doctor's appointments. They will leave work to sometimes get their hair done. They will leave work to go on vacations and stuff like that. But then the pastor, they expect, well, you just got to be there whenever I want you. Well, I'm not going to have a two-hour or three-hour meeting with you at 8 o'clock at night when you could have been there at noon or in the afternoon or after church on Sunday. People, well, I've had that happen. People gotten offended because they wanted to have a meeting with me. I said, okay, after church on Sunday. And they're like, oh, I can't stay. Well, what? I mean, people have really gotten mad about that stuff. Well, what am I supposed to do about that? It doesn't mean I don't love you, but I'm not going to just, my life is not conformed around your life. I'm sent here as a pastor to help people, and I enjoy that. I want to do that. I want to teach the word, help people. But there's nowhere in Scripture does it say that my life has to be conformed to your wishes. Praise the Lord. Nobody else operates that way, and yet pastors are expected to? That could happen. I love you. I'll be there for you. Listen, if something comes up, and stuff comes up sometimes. If something comes up and you need me now and it's the middle of the night, I'll be there for you. You know what I'm saying? Now, it'd be a little bit different if I've been warning you, and then you call me in the middle of the night. I'd be like, well, you wait till morning. Yeah. Yeah. Because sometimes, you know what? If you've been warned, you just, listen, it is not my job to come clean up your mess. And so many people, they look at church that way. Is it, well, I come to God to have him clean up my mess or whatever. But listen, it doesn't work that way. I will work with people. I want to work with people. I want to help people. But there's one way that I've learned, and that is through the help of the word. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Let's turn to Proverbs 18. I'd ask you if you're getting help, but I know that you are if you're listening. There may be somebody in here that's getting offended, even as I preach this. And the funniest thing about that is absolutely true. There could be somebody in here being totally offended at what's being preached right now when I'm warning them about what offense does to them. Listen, sometimes it's not always easy to hear the truth, but the truth does help us. Amen? Proverbs 18, verse 19. I am so thankful. I'll tell you what. Tuesday, I mentioned that I was going to be preaching a message that was going to deal with some stuff and a little bit bolder and stuff like that, you know. And if I'm glad that God gave me till Sunday to preach this message, because Tuesday, I was pretty fired up. I mean, I was real fired up, and I was ready to hand people their heads. I was ready to lay things out, because here's the thing about me. If you just understand, listen, I don't always think about things till afterwards. And sometimes, and that's why God is good, that he gives us a little bit of space and time to breathe, and that's why we need to learn to follow God. Because I've had a habit in my past of just saying what I thought. God didn't let me say what I think anymore, just like that, amen? And I'm thankful for that, sometimes. Sometimes I really, I just want to really give it to him. You know what I mean? Because I'll tell you what. When you spend time helping people, you love on people, you spend your personal finances on them, all of which I've done as a pastor and do continually as a pastor, spend my personal time with them, my personal finances with them, trying to help them out of trouble, and then have them turn around and bite you, that's disgusting. It is the absolute most disgusting thing I can think of. It is no different than a spouse that goes out and cheats on their other spouse. That's exactly what it is. Listen, you and I, if you come here, if you're part of this work, we're in covenant. It's not the same covenant as a spouse, but it's like that. It's a covenant together. I endeavor to do right, and that's getting back to what I was saying. I endeavor to live right to help the people that I'm called to help. Praise the Lord. I put myself through what I allow myself to go through what I go through, my cross to bear, so to speak. I do that to help the people that I'm called to. Amen. I don't do it for my own good. I certainly don't do it for my own benefit, because naturally speaking, it hasn't benefited me the way the world does. You understand what I'm saying? You know, we talk about, you know, people like, why would you start a church in Corrie? Because we're called to. We go down there and minister. I don't get paid to go down there and minister. I don't get some kind of huge stipend because I'm going to. I'm not doing it to. What I'm saying is, I'm not doing it to pad my pockets. I do it because I love the people of Corrie, and I love the plan of God. I want to help. I want to do what God has called me to do. That's what we're all called to do, amen? Praise the Lord. But then to have somebody like that turn on you, I'm going to tell you something. It hurts. Yeah. It hurts. It hurts when you spend time with somebody and then they turn on you and they will talk trash about you. They'll say things that aren't even true. They'll leave you over the simplest things. It hurts. And I'm speaking as a human right now. It hurts. We, you know, pastors have feelings too. It hurts. People tear you apart when you've done nothing but help them and given them your time and given them your precious family time, which I don't necessarily we have a ton of, praise the Lord, but we give this to people. We give our lives for people and then have them turn and just for no reason and just say, you know what, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I won't stand for it. I'm not going to stand for it. Hallelujah. Especially when it starts robbing the church of God. Because thing, every single person that sits in these seats today, I don't care if this is your first time here or if you've been here for the entire time, every single person that sits in these seats, I love you and have given my life and give my life for you. Yeah. I love you. I love every single one of you. It means something to me to see you here. And when I see somebody else get offended and mad and then start trying to rob from other people the things that God wants to do in their life just because they're offended, you know why they do it? They do it because it makes them feel better about exiting. It makes them feel better about why they left. Yeah, it's selfish. It is the most horrifically selfish thing that you can possibly do, is to sit there and try to rob someone else who's perfectly content, perfectly happy with where they're at. Why would you do that? Because you care about yourself. You've never, and that's the thing. That's why we teach people to die to self. That's why we talk about dying to self. Everything that we teach is about dying to yourself. You know, when you tithe, that's dying to yourself. You're saying God's work is more important. When you give yourself, when you give of your time to serve, that's dying to yourself. And many, many people in here, we have such a wonderful congregation, amen? But we have to take care of these things. The Bible says, warn some as though pulling them out of the fire. Amen. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 18:19. Glory to God. I got to get moving here. Proverbs 18:19. A brother offended is harder to win than a strong city. And contentions are like bars of a castle. What offense does to a person is it puts you in a place where you can't get out. It's a trap that, like bars, you know, the Bible uses such awesome words and it tells you what offense does. Listen, you can be offended. You don't just have to be offended at church. Of course, we're dealing with that. But you can be offended just in life. Yeah. There's so many people that are, you see so many people out there in the nation today that are offended because somebody else has something that they want. And because they're offended by it, they can't even see the truth in it. They just want to take from other people. That's not right. No. Socialism is absolutely of the devil, in case you didn't know. Absolutely. I am not trying to get political. And it's not about being political, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. Socialism is absolutely 100% of the devil. We see, I brought it out last night in service. We see that happening in Scripture. It was the same exact idea. You can rob from somebody else to give to you because they don't deserve it, and somehow you do. Yeah. That's prideful. Yeah. I mean, why do you deserve something that somebody else earned? Yeah. You don't deserve what I earned. Now, I believe in sharing, of course, at the other end of things. And you can ask anybody who's ever worked for me. I always pay people fairly. I always take care of them. I always try to, you know, every person that we had working here on this church that worked, that we paid to work here, I paid them as much as I could. And then I also made sure that they had, we fed them meals. We bought them coffee. We took care of them in every way, shape, or form. Because that's what a good employer does. A good employer will take care of their employees so much so that their employee would never even think about leaving them. The best they can. Obviously, not everybody can do everything, you know. Right. Praise the Lord. I couldn't pay them $40 an hour, but we paid them well. You know what I'm saying? You know, and that's just what we endeavor to do. Praise the Lord. Even in the scrap, we'd take the scrap metals. We were doing this building, and one time, you know, we got $300-$400. I split it up amongst the workers because they were giving us so much extra time and working hard for us. I believe in taking care of people. Yeah. We should, and if you're an employer, praise the Lord, you should take care of the people that work for you the best that you can. You know what I mean? If you employ somebody to just work at your house, take care of them. You know, especially if they work good for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why I always say, tip waitress is good. Yeah. Yeah. That's how I got my wife. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. She was my waitress. I tipped her real good. Yeah. I said, hey. I gave her a big smile and said, hey. Praise the Lord. But that's what we need to take care of people. We do need to. You know, I'm not saying that we don't take care of people, but I say it's different when the government comes in and says, I'm going to take from you. Amen. But we're not getting on that. We're staying in the fence. A brother offended, praise the Lord, is harder to win than a strong city. And the contentions are like the bars of a castle. Now look at this, verse 18. This is still in context. A man shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. Yeah. From the fruit of his lips, he shall be filled. So what you're talking about, if you're going around speaking offense, if you're speaking these evil, if you're speaking, and it is evil. The Bible says that talking these things are evil. Amen. The Bible says, do you know the Bible said that Moses, Michael, the archangel Michael, when he was arguing with when he was contending with the devil over the body of Moses, the devil wanted the body of Moses and Michael, the archangel, for whatever reason, was not letting him do it. The Bible says that even against Satan, He did not dare bring an accusing word up against him, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." If something's wrong, we aren't supposed to sit there and share it with everybody we know. Praise the Lord. Certainly you would want to share it with the one that you has wronged you. In fact, the Bible tells you that. We have church order for doing things and how to handle things where somebody's been wronged and stuff like that. But, the words that we speak, we can open graves, is what the Bible says. Amen? Praise the Lord. So a man's stomach shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth. What are we saying here? The way that you live matters for what you receive from God. And if you start going around and causing offense and causing strife, watch out. Yeah. I'm not doing anything. It's not a threat from me. Right. What I'm saying is watch out, because you're opening the door to Satan and you're going to see destruction in your life. Sometimes I've seen people that have slipped into this and seen so much destruction that they are so wrapped up in destruction, they can't even see what the original cause was. That's how far lost people can get. It's dangerous. Amen. Praise the Lord. Psalm 1:1. This one should be should be something that's in our Christian playbook. Amen. Blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Somebody who is preaching or talking against the word, somebody who is doing things that the word specifically says not to do, that is ungodliness. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So if we can say, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, cursed is the man who does. Yes. Be careful what you listen to. Be careful who you let talk in your ear. We are very careful of this. As a pastor, I don't let everybody talk into my life. I don't listen to everything everybody has to say. Why is this? Because I'm not going to listen to stuff that isn't truth. I'm not going to listen to stuff that will pull me away from the truth. I'll give you an example. You all know I mentioned I like YouTube videos. I like to watch different documentaries and things about things. Amen. I like learning. Well, when I'm on there, there's a lot of stuff on there about, and sometimes you'll find a minister railing against another minister. And I'm going to tell you something that I found. There's been many of those that are even correct. I've even agreed with what they're saying, but it's from the wrong spirit, and so I won't listen to it. What's the spirit? Well, they're out there publicly just trying to bash somebody. Listen, I don't publicly try to bash people. I don't publicly try to tear people apart. But because that's a dangerous thing. Actually, again, if we get into Scripture and see all the accounts of what happened to people, it always ends bad for people who do that. Actually, the Bible says that God considers it a righteous thing to trouble those who trouble you. He considers it a righteous thing. Amen. We don't want that. Be careful the seeds that you sow. But be careful what seeds are sown into your ears. If it's not God, you can deal with it one of a few ways. You can cut a person off, which I don't suggest to just do right off the bat. But you can also speak to that person and say, listen, these are things that I'm not going to accept. You don't talk to me about these things.
Yes, that's right.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. I don't accept this because it's not right. You can say what you want. You can say you're offended or whatever, but you know it's not right. And how do you know it's not right? Because you know in your stomach. I don't got to tell you. I ain't got to be there every time with you, but you know when somebody's speaking, you're like, you know something, it doesn't sit well. Well, yeah. That's not right. Do you really feel right when somebody starts talking trash about someone else? I don't care anybody else. No. Do you feel right about it? You don't, do you? Why? Because there's something on the inside of you that's telling you, God said His law is on our hearts. Yes. They're on the inside of us. And we understand that the heart of the man, if you do research, the heart of the man is really in this area. Amen. So what we talk about out of our bellies and stuff like that. Praise the Lord. But you don't feel right about it. You know when something, but if you listen to it long enough, you will side with it. Yes. You will start falling into that. Why? Because it's scornful. Praise the Lord. And then you look at the motives of people. Why are people doing something? Is somebody railing against something? You know, I rail against things at times. There's times where I bring things up in the pulpit and because that's what I'm called to do. There's times the Bible tells me I have to warn people. I have to warn them. Because sometimes, I said in this church, the first time I said in this church, I said, you know that the Islam is evil, right? The first time I said that, I almost got a gasp. which let me know it was a good thing that I said that. Yeah. It's an evil religion. I'm not talking about the people. I'm not saying that those people that typically are of that race that are in that religion are bad people. I'm not saying that. I'm saying the religion is full of evil because it was founded by the devil himself. Praise the Lord. But Christians don't realize this. So I have to let people know that. They have to be aware of the devil's devices. They have to know the things that he's using. Socialism. Why do I say something about that? Because they're socialists. I don't care what party you belong to, but I'm just telling you that there's certain moves of government that are evil, and we have to watch for those things. We have to stand against them. When New York thought that it would be a good idea to start murdering babies that were we always murdered babies, but we were willing to murder babies that are born even to that place where they're alive, and there's no life is what I'm saying at that point. And yet you guys have to know that that's not okay. You guys have to know that you have to stand against that stuff. You have to know that we have to have standards, praise the Lord, that we're not moved on. We have to. We have to, because if we're not, we'll be swallowed up by the devil. Praise the Lord. So government things do matter. It matters. Do you know why that the governments try to silence churches on speaking against government stuff? Because they don't want churches to tell their people, because they know that a large portion of people that attend churches are voters. And they don't like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. So anybody who gives us freedom in the church to speak what we need to speak is somebody who is being a blessing to the church. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we have to understand these things. Anybody who stifles those things, anybody who tries to keep truth at bay. But you ask yourself, okay, if God truly calls you to leave this church, if that's truly what happens, praise the Lord. Is he calling you to try to get everybody else that you possibly can to go with you? If God is moving you into a better place, do you really think it's the character of God to sit there and talk smack about people all day? No, it absolutely it is. Is it? It's from the pit of hell. It is confusion. It is trying to get people. Listen, if God is in this work, whether everybody that's sitting here today remains or everybody goes, is inconsequential. It doesn't matter. God will do this work. If everybody leaves, he'll bring in a new batch of people. I am not here to have numbers. I am not here to be a pastor to sit there and say, look at all this. I'm here to help people. And those who want to be helped will be helped, and those who don't, won't. And those who don't will move on, and they'll go to other places. But those who want to be helped will. And those who want to be helped will see the power of God in their lives. They will see the things change. But it takes time to course correct things that you've been doing in life. Praise the Lord. So that's not the reason we're doing it today. And if you think that even preaching a message like this is necessarily fun, well, it's not. I don't want to have to correct, but I would just rather just sit around talking about the blessing of the Lord. But we have to make sure that we protect the sheep, praise the Lord, because there's wolves out there trying to destroy them. And sometimes, listen, these people don't even know that they're doing wrong. But they would have known if they were doing wrong if they had connected to the things that were being spoken to them. Praise the Lord. Because these people I've spoken things over their lives. I've seen things in their lives that God wanted to do. And every step of the way, you could ask my wife, they rejected. I saw they rejected this and they rejected that and they rejected that. I can see it. I know when people are accepting or rejecting what God is trying to say to them. I'm not saying I'm God. You understand? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we have to, praise the Lord, we have to know we have to know how to stand against this. And again, you know, praise the Lord. I wondered if we wouldn't have someone new here today. If we, you know, we have new people here today. We love you. We love the people of the church. But we're trying to, because protection. You know, a good parent always protects her household. That's exactly what we're doing here. We're protecting the people from things that are evil. And I'm not saying. Again, I am not saying that you can't have anything to do with people, but you have to at least make your standpoint known that you're not going to stand for something. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Romans, people call you family or call me brother. When I call you brother, I mean it. You're my brother. If I call you sister, I mean it. You're my sister. Praise the Lord. I got a bunch of family, real life family, real blood family that I don't like, but I still get together with them. You know what I mean? I still gather with them. I still come together. Why? Because I love them. Yeah. They're family. Yeah. Amen. When I call you brother or sister, I mean it. That's exactly the way I look at you. Turn with me to Romans. We're getting close to the end here. Romans 3. Praise the Lord. Romans 3, hallelujah. Boy, an hour of the Word will save us from so much. Romans 3, verses 13 through 18. Isn't it interesting how much Scripture is about this stuff? Romans 3, 13. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues they have practiced deceit. Praise the Lord. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. See, if people had any idea what they were doing, they would seriously consider it. Well, I want to go back here and look at this where it says, praise the Lord, it says, verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Cursing is literally, it's words spoken intended to harm or injure someone or something. God's way is never, we're going to get to that in a minute here, but God's way is never railing or never trying to destroy someone, never going after attacking somebody for the sake of attacking them. Amen. That is never God's way. And look at this. I love this with bitterness because it says their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Now we know, we've taught a lot about how what we speak is what happens, that we can produce things through our lips, right? Amen. Bitterness literally is a bitter root, therefore producing bitter fruit. I didn't mean it to rhyme. That's exactly how it came out. A bitter root, therefore producing bitter fruit. Jesus himself said, you cannot get good fruit from a bad tree. You know what I mean? You don't go to a thorn bush looking for grapes or, you know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get good fruit from a bad tree. You're not going to get pure water and poison water out of the same well. So if the well is poisoned, it's poisoned. Amen. And so that's what it is. Bitterness is a bitter root, therefore producing bitter fruit. When people get bitter about things, when they, you know, this is why the Bible tells us, you know, there's a lot we have to preach about, you know, forgiveness and stuff like that. And the things that people will hold, they'll hold unforgiveness. They don't realize it's just destroying their own lives. People hold things against people and they don't realize it's just destroying their own lives. I've had to forgive people that didn't deserve forgiving. Why? Because it wasn't about them. It was about me. Because what happened is it started destroying my life. Have you ever figured that out? You know, if somebody's ever wronged, especially if they don't really see it as wrong, they just wronged you. How many of those people are ever bothered by the thought of you? They're not bothered, but you're bothered by the thought of them. See, that's why we got to let it go, because it doesn't do anything against them. But it destroys us. I said it destroys us. God wants us to be free. We can't be free if we're bound. Unforgiveness is a binding tactic of the devil to get you into a place where you can't receive from God. It's to steal the fruit. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Yep, I got to get moving. James 3:17, I'm just going to read it to you. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Willing to yield. Oh, yes. That's something this country needs a little bit more. You need to learn to yield to other people. Sometimes you just can't have it all your way. You know, Burger King is great for having it your way, but you can't have Burger King everywhere. It'll kill you. If all you eat is Burger King, you'll die, right? Because it's not about all your way. We need to be willing to yield. Praise the Lord. That's what being part of a family is being willing to yield. Amen. Be full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Praise the Lord. You know what the ultimate hypocrisy is? I love boldness, but not when you're that bold. That's hypocrisy. You don't love boldness. You love things that are that are tickling your flesh. You love things that make you happy. Praise the Lord. You don't want the truth. Because if you wanted the truth, you would yield to the truth. I said if you wanted the truth, you'd yield to the truth. The truth is the word of God. If you want it, you'll yield to it. If you don't yield to it, you don't want it. It's as simple as that. You want the fruit of God in your life? You want to bear fruit for God? You got to yield to his word. You got to do what his word says. You can't forever do your own thing and expect that you're going to yield to God. You're never going to have what God... You will never have the blessing of the Lord if you don't yield to God. You will never have it. You can't do things your own way because you weren't made to be your own. Actually, the Bible tells us that if you've been born again, you are not your own. You are a new creation. You belong to someone else. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Luke 17. I've got to go real quick. Luke 17, 1. Praise the Lord. Turn to Galatians 5, 7, and I'm going to read to you Luke 17, 1 through 3. Jesus said this, and he said to his disciples, it is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. Remember this trap, the snare, somebody trying to pull someone away. Jesus said, woe to the person through whom offenses come, the one who's causing offense. Amen? It is impossible that no offenses should come, but woe to him through whom they do come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. Wow. That's what Jesus said about offenses. He said, be careful about causing offense. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. How many know that doesn't end well? If somebody ties you up, you sleep with the fishes. You ever heard that saying? You know what I mean? You know, Jesus talked about sleeping with the fishes here is what he's saying. Amen? It doesn't end well. But this is for somebody who allows offenses to come through them, who allows the devil to, allows them to be offended. And then they spread their offense. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, absolutely. It's a disease. It's cancer. Take heed to yourself, it says, then that he should offend one of these little ones, praise the Lord. Take heed to yourselves, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Rebuke him means let him know. Yeah. You've done something wrong, you've wronged me, yeah. Praise the Lord. And if he says, I'm sorry, well then forgive him, amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise God, hallelujah. I wrote this down here. One day people will sing your praises as Christians. This will happen to all of us, but it happens as a pastor all the time. One day people will sing your praises, and the next day they're talking about how bad you are. How can that be? Again, I didn't change. I've been doing the same thing that I always do. I mean, I'm not saying the Lord doesn't take me higher, but I've been preaching the same, you know what I mean? Same line, praise the Lord, doing the same thing, endeavoring to be better, but I haven't changed for the worse, that's for sure. And here's the other thing that I always say. Well, why is it effective for other people? Why are other people getting helped? See, if somebody's getting helped, praise the Lord. Did you find Galatians 5 yet? Yeah. Praise the Lord. But if other people are getting helped, then maybe we got to check up and see maybe it isn't them, but it's us. Right. But see, nobody wants to say that it's them because their way is always right. But that's why you're always in trouble. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Galatians 5, 7. We're getting right towards the end here. Yep, just a few more verses. Galatians 5, 7. Read through 10. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? You were running good. What happened? Yeah, as a pastor, again, I see this all the time. People get into it for a little while, then all of a sudden they'll be tempted. Who's hindering you from obeying the truth? You know what was right. You knew that God helped you. There's something that brought you in, and there was something that kept you, and it wasn't me forcing you. Right. It wasn't anybody standing up there. This isn't cult. Cults won't let people leave. Right. People can leave anytime they want. They don't have to stay here. We have people leave us every year. We have people leave us every single year. I think since we've been pastor, we have people leave us. Right. Not everybody, but some people do. We haven't forced anybody to stay here. We certainly haven't forced. You know, we joke about my wife coming out to get you, but you know, even if she did, she could move most of you. Amen. You know what I mean? Just keep the door shut. You know what I'm saying? You know, it's a joke. People call us a cult. No, cults, people in cults don't have a choice. They get wrapped up and they can't get out. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Look at what it says here. This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. It doesn't come from God. The persuasion to disobey now and to go against what you knew was good, now that persuasion, it doesn't come from God. A little leaven's the whole lump. What is this talking about? This is a reference, again, to the Jewish traditions. They didn't have bread with yeast in it, right? And so the yeast was the leavening. What he said was, even if you have a little bit in there, the whole lump is leavened. Yeah. Doesn't matter if it's just a little. Yeah. See, it's like a cancer. You put a it in and you don't deal with it and let it go, what does it do? It grows. It grows. It grows. Because now this person's offended, they'll talk to this person. That person's offended, they'll talk to this person. Pretty soon you got everybody offended. This is how church splits happen. Praise the Lord, it is. And we stomp out church splits right before they happen. We won't let, you know what we do with somebody who's trying to cause a church split? We'll kick them in the pants and send them on the way. I won't even care. That's the love of God right there. It's kicking them in their pants and saying, well, that's not love. Yes, it is, because it protects the people that are sincere. Listen, I don't need, listen, I love all of you, but I don't need any of you here. Why? Because I don't do this. I don't do this for the sake of having a congregation. I do this for the sake of leading God's people into the plan of God. You know what I mean? I want to help people, obviously. You know what I mean? But if people don't, what I'm saying by that is if people don't want the help, then they're not doing any good. They're just causing, you know, they're causing turmoil. Especially if they're talking smack, running around, stuff like that. You ran well. Who hindered you from the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven, leaven's a whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will have no other mind, but he who troubles you shall bear his judgment, whoever he is. The person who is speaking will bear judgment. God promised it. It's written in the word, amen? The word trouble means to cause one inward commotion, to take away calmness of mind, to disquiet. Think about your conversations that you have. Are they causing commotion? Are they leading you to peace? Are they, you know, one thing I love about brothers and sisters in Christ, when you get together, it's edifying. You know what I think of? I think of my sister Chris here, and I think of my sister Jess back there. Praise the Lord. Jess and Chris, they get together and they have a hootin' good time. Praise the Lord. You know, outside at my praise the Lord, Barb and Sue back here too. Man, hallelujah. They told me about one day they got so giddy in the car going home, get full of the Holy Ghost, and just sister building on sister. There's freedom in that, right? Remember how pumped? You know why that is? Because that's what edification is. It ain't edifying when somebody all of a sudden somebody's talking and now you're feeling like you, man, I'm questioning everything in life now. Yeah. You gotta watch that kind of garbage. Why are you all of a sudden now? You don't need somebody to help you question. You know what I'm saying? Like when you have doubts about, when you're having a hard time, you don't need someone else to come in and help you question your hard time and why you're in your hard time and make it and solidify it. Amen. You don't need someone else to help you figure out a sin. The devil works through you good enough to help you sin. You don't need somebody else to come in and join up with you and say, here, let me help you sin. Come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's why one thing we tell drug users, one of the first things that drug users have to do if they want to quit using drugs, they have to do it. Is they have to separate themselves from everybody they use drugs with. Right. Why? Because if they don't, they'll get right back into it. That's what it is. It's the reverse edification. We don't want that. Amen. Trouble to cause inward commotion. Is this edifying me? We have to ask ourselves, is this conversation I'm having edifying to me? I ask myself that all the time. And sometimes I have to repent because it wasn't edifying. Yeah. In fact, it was taking away. Yeah. Because we can all get caught up in this. To take away calmness of mind, to disquiet. God wants us to be at peace. Peace. Peace, man. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to close with 2 Timothy 4:14 and 15. And here's an example of what Paul dealt with this. It was Alexander the coppersmith. Forever known in Scripture as the one who was trying to come against God's work. Wouldn't you love to have your name up there? Oh, man, hallelujah. I mean, seriously, Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. Praise the Lord. You also must be aware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. The word that we preach is the same word that Paul preached. People want to resist that, that's fine, but you need to be careful of it. You need to watch it. You need to recognize offense. You need to recognize offense coming on you, and you need to resist it. The Bible says, resist the devil, and he will flee. The opposite of resist is to accept. If you accept, he'll stay. And so if you accept the things that he's giving, I'm just going to tell you right now that you're going to live that life too. You'll be full of that life too. If you want to be set free, you have to do things the way God does them. Amen? Praise the Lord. The message stands. May the fruit remain. I believe it. I believe that it was God. I believe that it's for us. Now let's move on from this mess. Praise the Lord. And move on into the blessing that God has for us. Praise the Lord. I said we're going to move on into the blessing that God has for us. Amen.